But then he decided he would slip in, so he did come slipping into the service while the preacher was busy. The preacher had started. And he nudged the fellow that was sitting beside him after a minute or two, and he says, "How long has this fellow been preaching?" "Oh," he says, "he's been preaching for over 30 years. He says, "I'll stick him for another 10 minutes. Well, I'll not go on for 30 years. Now, a lot of you have been asking me privately where I came from. Where was my native town? Well, now, I can say I was the least in my father's house, because I was born in a very obscure little town in the smallest county in Scotland. While it may be the smallest county, it is one of the biggest names. It was called Clackmannanshire. And the little town I lived in was quite a little town with just about 4,500 of a population, that was all. But it also had a rather peculiar and big name. It was called Tullicootry. Comes from three Latin words, tullis culter, meaning the hill behind the town. So it nestles right at the foot of the Opal Hill. Now, while it's a small town, its name has gone around the world. There was a preacher preached there and was much used of God, although it may interest some of you here this morning when I say that he originally came from Ayrshire, but moved up into the better part of Scotland and settled down in part of Tullicootry, which is made up of the town and two villages, and one of the villages has the peculiar name of Colesnaughton. And a man called James Smith did a lot of preaching there. My mother was converted under his preaching. And his name has been well known for many years for the books that he wrote entitled Handfuls on Purpose. He emigrated to Australia and died there, the Pastor James Smith. Now my father preached for them on many an occasion in the open air in that village. Although Smith was a Presbyterian, nevertheless, he had a lot in common, and when he started to write his book, Handfuls on Purpose, his first little articles, if you've seen his book, in volume one, he deals with tabernacle patterns. And when he was going to write those little articles, they were only supposed to be for his own congregation and a few friends to begin with, and they developed into about 12 volumes. And he came to my father's house, I understand, and the two of them sat down, and their textbook for their study, other than the Bible, was the book written by Salto, who was a converted Jew, and his book on the tabernacle and the offerings is still a classic. So James Smith was associated with that area for many a long year, and a lot of people were saved under his ministry. And from the little local church that I was raised in there, in the Gospel Hall, a strange thing, just a few years ago, right here in Florida, one weekend, there were three of us, all preaching in Florida, who were raised in that little assembly at the same time. Our brother Dan Snadden was preaching in O'Galley at Bethany Chapel by the sea. I was preaching down in West Palm Beach, and our brother Bill Patterson, who is now in the glory, was preaching down in Miami. And the three of us were all raised together in that same little assembly and preached together and were in the class where my father had the Bible class of young people. And then another young fellow who was raised with us there has spent many, many years in Brazil as a missionary. His name is Henry King. Then there was a lady who was much older than us. She was of the other generation. She went away to India and spent a lot of years in India. Her own name was Katie Murphy, but she became a Mrs. Buchanan. Like a lot of other ladies, she changed her name, and she became a Mrs. Buchanan, and she served the Lord for many years in India. All that from just a little country church in a little town with a big name. Now, if you want to read a little more about it, I notice a book out there has to do with my good friend Dan over in Ugali. It's called The Singapore Survivor. If you've never read Dan's book, you should purchase it out there for about 50 cents, and you'll read what happened to him when he was a prisoner of war. Now, it's nice to be here with you for this conference. Now, I've told you where I come from. We're going to speak about the best theme that anyone could speak about. I'm going to speak to you about the war this morning, bringing you a fourfold testimony from heaven about him, and a sevenfold testimony from the earth. Now let us open our Bibles at the Gospel according to Luke, and we'll read some verses here, and you'll keep your Bibles open, and we'll make the Bible work this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, let us read at verse 8, Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. May God bless to us the reading of these verses. We're living in an age of questions. Some questions are asked and there's no answer to the question. But I suppose one of the greatest questions ever asked was asked by the Lord. He said one day, looking at his enemies, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And thinking for a moment, they gave the answer, and here's what they said. They say unto him, the son of David. That seemed to be right. Then he answered them back and he said, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, How is he his son? That was the sticker. And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither doth any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Here was the question that finished all other questions. And Christ seems to be the answer to all the mysterious questions that men would ask. But never let us be guilty of simply saying, What think ye of Christ? But go on and continue the question to the end. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Now, if he's David's son, then how do you answer this? That David, speaking in the Spirit, called him Lord and said, The Lord said unto my Lord. Now, in coming to a time like this, when everyone's mind is centered on the fact that this great person was born, we're not going to argue about the date. I personally don't think it was December the 25th. But one thing I will admit this, he was born. The Bible says so. And I'm glad to think that people at least acknowledge that he was born. That's more than you can say about Santa Claus. They've never found him yet. But coming now to the Word of God, I have read to you the testimony of the angels when they spoke to the shepherds on the plains of Bethlehem. Here is what they said about the one that was born. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now I want you, with your Bibles in hand this morning, to follow me through as we take another three angelic messages and the testimony of the angel concerning this one who was born. Now, the first time the angel appeared, making reference to the one that would be born, I'll suggest to you, was when the angel appeared to Zechariah. Now, we'll read about that one, shall we, in chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 8. Luke chapter 1, verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his court, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he, that's John, shall go before him, that's the Lord, the one that was to be born, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, in taking this angelic testimony as given to Zacharias, may I suggest that the outstanding truth that is emphasized here is that it was the Lord that was coming. You see, John is a forerunner. He's going to run, as it were, in front of the chariot, preparing the people for the coming one. And this one who's coming is the Lord. And John's mission is to prepare the people for the Lord and for the kingdom. You know, in speaking about the kingdom, I've had so many people who have come to me with the problems about this, and they've said, Mr. McNeil, tell us this. If the kingdom was presented to the Jews, how was the kingdom presented? I said, to me, it's as simple as this. The king was presented. And if you accept the king, you accept his rule, you accept his kingdom. If you reject the king, you reject the kingdom. And God presented the king to the people, and they rejected him, so they rejected the kingdom. But John is coming along as a forerunner, and John is preparing the way for the Lord. And this one who is coming, then, is to be emphasized as the Lord. Therefore, it's most significant that the angel made this announcement to a priest who was officiating in the temple. What better place could God choose than the temple in Jerusalem? And to what better person could the announcement be made than to a man who was functioning as a priest in the presence of his God? And the angel comes and makes the announcement. And at that time, you will notice the people were praying outside. So while the multitude of the people are praying, and this man is functioning as a priest in the presence of God, the angel appears, and the truth that's emphasized to Zacharias is this, that the child that would be born, John, would be the forerunner of the next child who is the Lord. And the great truth then, announced by the angel to Zacharias, the testimony given, is that this one would be the Lord. But then, there's the appearance to Mary. Now let us see what's said to Mary. Chapter 1 again. Let's read what is said here. Verse 26. Chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now may I suggest that when the angel appeared to Mary and made this announcement, while there are many things couched beneath this announcement, that the outstanding truth that's to be emphasized here is that he is the son of David. For the angel speaks of him coming to occupy the throne, and that Jehovah shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, to what better person could this announcement be made than to the virgin of David's line? Here's the one who comes of David's royal line. She's a virgin in Israel, and it's to her that the angel makes this announcement, that the child that she would bring forth would be the son of David. He would live and he would reign, sit upon that throne that Jehovah would give unto him. So the truth to be emphasized from the angel's testimony to Mary is the truth of the son of David. But then there came the moment when God had to speak to Joseph. Now we don't find this in Luke's Gospel, but we find it in Matthew's Gospel. And perhaps tonight we'll give you some reason why it's found there, but we'll read it now in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Now, here was a man who had a lot of confusion of thought, and justly so. Justly so. He was a man who didn't know what to do. Now, we're all old enough here to understand the position. Here was a man who was betrothed to a young virgin. At least he thought she was. He accepted her as such. He accepted the betrothal. There was an engagement. And that engagement was binding. And the date of the marriage perhaps was set. And in the interval between the engagement and the day of the marriage, he had to discover this awful thing, that she was with child. Now Joseph knew that so far as the natural was concerned, if he was to examine this from the human or natural point of view, this woman had been unfaithful to him. So he could either make her a public example and have her dealt with accordingly at the gate of the city, or he could use the other means and have her put away privately and not go through the marriage ceremony. This confusion of thought with her, what should he do? Now it's just while he's in this confusion of thought, not knowing what to do, read verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, For he shall save his people from their sins. Now, here's the angel coming with a testimony to this confused man. What is the truth to be emphasized in the angel's message to Joseph? May I suggest, in the name that's given, Joseph, you'll accept Mary, and when the child is brought forth, you will accept that child into your family. You will accept him into your home. You'll name that child. You'll call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from the sins. The truth to be emphasized is that this one who will be born will be the Savior. So add these three things together. To Zechariah, the truth is the one that's coming, he'll be the Lord. And your son, John, will go before him and prepare the people for the Lord. To Mary, the child that you'll bring forth will be called the Son of David. He'll sit on David's throne. To Joseph, now Joseph, you will accept him into your family. Joseph never was the father of Jesus, we know that. But he had to adopt him, he had to accept him, he had to receive him. And he had to receive him as Savior. Joseph surely represents a repentant, believing Israelite who was gladly receiving the Redeemer into his home. You see, to begin with, he was going to say, no, he's not mine. I don't want this child. And I don't want Mary. I don't accept the idea of a virgin birth. And he was going to put her away. But now, receiving the testimony of the angel, he's converted to the thought that he repents of his thoughts. And he turns round, and he not only takes unto himself Mary, and accepts the verdict and the testimony, but he accepts the child, and the child is received in and acknowledged as being a member of Joseph's family, and comes in rightfully as the descendant in that line. So you add these three things together, and the angels bear testimony to the fact that this one to be born is the Lord. He's the Son of David. He's the Savior. Now what did the angel say to the shepherds? For unto you is born this day in the city of David. That corresponds with what's said to Mary. A Savior. That corresponds with what's said to Joseph. Which is Christ the Lord. And that corresponds with what was said to Zechariah. And so the three are tied together after the birth. You see, these three are said before the birth. But now the time comes that she brings forth her child, and the angel appears and said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so the three are tied together in one and given out to those shepherds. But now, that's a testimony from heaven, a fourfold testimony of the angel to this one that was born. Let us very quickly this morning, because it's already 11 o'clock, and I don't know whether I'm supposed to finish at 11 o'clock past. You'll give me a few more minutes, won't you? Yeah. A few more minutes, and we'll look at a sevenfold testimony from earth. Seven people who gave their testimony concerning the one that was born. Now, look again at chapter 1 and verse 68. Here is the testimony of Zechariah. It said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. So Zechariah adds the testimony here, and the testimony of his lips, that is after, of course, that his time of discipline has passed. You remember his lips were sealed. But after that time of discipline has passed, and he is able again to speak, he gives his testimony. And his testimony is this: he's praising God for the fact that God has visited his people. Is Emmanuel God with us? Now, what is the testimony through the shepherds? Look at chapter 2 and verse 20. Verse 19 says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She wasn't telling anybody, but the shepherds were different. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. See, they're praising God and glorifying God, first of all, for the things they hear. That's the things we already read about. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. They're praising God and glorifying God for the things they heard. And they're also praising and glorifying God for what they saw. Because when they went down, they found the very thing that the angel said they would find, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The very sign that was given to them, they saw these things with their eyes. They believed what they heard. And by the way, does it seem strange to you that in reading through Luke chapter 2, nowhere there do I find that the angel ever told them to go to Bethlehem? The angel never told them to go. The angel simply told them what had happened there, and there was an immediate response from the shepherds and said, let us go. Let us go. You know, if I may just divert a little for a moment, I'm a little perturbed at our present-day evangelism. Perturbed. There's too much pushing and too much pulling, in my judgment, of the flesh. When the angel told the shepherds what had happened, they were simply left there and they responded to the heavenly message and they went and they saw for themselves and were convinced. And if you and I have lost our confidence in the Spirit of God to do His own work, there's something wrong. Simply present Christ in all His attractiveness, and if the Holy Spirit is working in the hearts of men and women, they will respond and receive Christ. And if the Holy Spirit is not moving them to go, nothing that I do or nothing that anyone else can do will bring them to Christ. You may bring them to the preacher. You may make them shake the preacher's hand. You may make them sign a card, but you'll never bring them to Christ by pushing them or pulling them. The Spirit of God must do the work. And here in Luke chapter 2, the angel simply gave the testimony. The shepherds went and they saw, and they came back glorifying God and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. So you have the testimony of the shepherds, and they're praising God for the Savior. But then what about the testimony of the wise men? Now for this, we've got to go back again to Matthew, and we'll find it in Matthew chapter 2. And here is the testimony of these wise men who came from the east. Verse 11. Matthew 2, verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Here's the testimony of the wise men. What did they do? They praised and honored a king. They treated him as a king. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? And when they found him, they bowed in adoration before him and acknowledged him as king. And then, to take our fourth testimony, we'll go to an old man, found in Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verses 31 and 32. This old man, read from verse 28 for connection. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light, to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people, Israel. Here's the testimony of this good old man, old Simeon. He praised God for the one who was the light of the world, and he held him up in his arms. Now perhaps I notice here this morning, the majority in this audience would be ladies. And you'll notice the testimony we've taken here from us is the testimony of four men. Perhaps you're thinking the ladies are left out. They're not. Let me show you the testimony of three ladies now to join to the testimony of the four men. That won't hurt the men. It'll still leave them in the majority. But we'll add three ladies. Now look again at chapter 1, verse 41. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. She spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now here's the testimony of Elizabeth. Elizabeth speaks of joy. There's a great note of joy in what Elizabeth has got to say in her testimony. And she's testifying to the fact that this babe that Mary is going to bring forth will be the Lord. But now, what about Mary's own testimony? Still in chapter 1 and verse 46. Let us read verse 46. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced. I like that. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, and so on. And Mary continues with her great song of praise. Will you notice that Mary particularly speaks of mercy? And if you read through here, Mary is thinking of the mercy that has been shown, not only to her, but the mercy that will be shown to the people. But there's a third one, and with this we must finish. Here's a dear old lady, an old widow, and there's some very special things said about her. Look at chapter 2, verse 36. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. Here was the testimony of old Anna. By the way, she may have been old, but she was still obedient, tending to the things of the Lord. She was a widow, so she must have known a lot of sorrow. Now, widows don't need to go around the corner to look for their sorrow. I know, my mother was a widow for 20 years. A widow is one who has had a lot of sorrow. And Anna was an old widow, but you know, in the midst of her sorrow, she had a lot of sweetness with her. know, she was a member of the happy tribe. The tribe where the foot had been dipped in oil. She was of the tribe of Asher. She may have known sorrow, but with her sorrow there was a lot of sweetness. Do you know the thing I like about old Anna? She was very thankful. And she thought of others. You see? And coming in that instant, she gave thanks. She was thankful. She gave thanks unto the Lord. And she spake of him, the Lord, to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. You see, Elizabeth, she has a note of joy. Joy to the world, we sing, the Lord is come. Well, Elizabeth knew something about joy. And Mary speaks of mercy. She's talking about the mercy of the Lord. But what did old Anna speak about? She spoke of redemption. She bore a testimony to the redemption that had been brought to the people. Those that were looking for redemption in Jerusalem. Beloved, we have a fourfold testimony there before us this morning, brought from heaven. The angels bore testimony to who he was. He was the Lord, manifest in flesh. He was the Son of David. He was the Savior. A sevenfold testimony on earth. The testimony of Zechariah, the testimony of the shepherds, the testimony of the wise men, the testimony of old Simeon, and then the testimony of the three ladies, Elizabeth, and Mary, and Anna. And they combined together to let us know who he is, what he is. There used to be an old hymn we used to sing in this town. I've never heard this song since I come to this country. That good old hymn we sing, "Who is he in yonder stall? At whose feet the shepherds fall. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. 'Tis the Lord, O wondrous story. At his feet will humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all." Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for a morning session spent together. We thank thee for this happy day. We thank you for everyone who can look back to a happier day, the day that they trusted Christ, and all the joy that has brought into our lives since then. Oh God, we believe the best is yet to be, and thou art preparing greater things for thy people. But while we're here, we pray thy blessings to be upon each one today. May we meditate upon these things and be able to speak to one another about the Lord and encourage one another. Not only do we pray for blessing upon those of us who are here in good circumstances today, but our heart girt to others. We think of mourning homes today, for these people have been killed in this plane disaster in Pennsylvania. Oh God, we ask thee to remember these mourning ones. And we think of some today who are thinking about their boys out in Vietnam. And it won't be such a happy Christmas for them when there'll be a vacant chair at the table. But we pray thy blessings to be upon them. And remember the boys in Vietnam. Some of them will have received little parcels and letters from home. They bring them a little joy. Above all, we pray that a word may be spoken to them there about the Savior. That some of them, even in the face of battle, may be led to trust the Savior. Hear us in these things. Continue with us what lies before us this day for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen.